simple meaning. Somebody who saves the choice. Whereas in Arabic, the word sadiq is not suffix for fa'il. It is sifat mushabbaha. And there's a difference between ismul fa'il, for those of you who know, and between sifat mushabbaha.
Ismul fa'il indicates towards a person performing that act, whereas sifatun mushabbaha indicates that action is found in the spirituality of the person on a permanent basis, because الصفات المشبهة تدل على الثبوت والاستمرار. الصفات المشبهة in Arabic tells us that this attribute is a permanently found attribute in the soul. What do we understand in this description? We understand that if a person tells the truth for 5 times, for the 6th time he lies. In Arabic, we do not call him as sadiq. Because if you had the sifat and attribute of sidq, rastgui, and telling the truth in your soul as a permanent attribute, you will be saying the truth on the 6th time as well. So now that a person didn't say the truth for the 6th time, it reveals that the sifat and attribute of sidq, the noor of sidq, is not part of his soul. Ayatullah al-Uzma, Shaykh Saduq, rahmatullahi alayh. We all know his personality, one of the greatest fuqaha of our history, very close to the time of Al-Ghaybat al-Sughra. He belongs to the time of Al-Ghaybat al-Kubra, but in the early time of Al-Ghaybat al-Kubra, which is very close to the lesser absence period. So he had a friend, and once he saw his friend showing some food, grass, whatever, food to the sheep. The sheep comes towards him, sheep or goat, whatever animal comes towards him, and he again pulls the food, the grass, away from him, whatever food it was. And then again he shows, and again the animal comes close to him, again he pulls it further away. So he doesn't give it to the animal. He just shows it to the animal, he runs towards him and doesn't give it to him. When Shaykh Saduq saw that, he said, "Now onwards I won't take you as my friend." Because when you cannot say truth to the animal, how can you be truthful towards me? So even towards in our minor behaviors of everyday life, where we think it's insignificant, it is also significant. We cannot say it's insignificant. Every matter of our life has a role to play in our spiritual development. So like the example when the Holy Prophet was serving food to his own, in a gathering where some of his relatives were present, and Prophet himself was serving food. So there were some women who were relatives of the Prophet, and one of the women said that I'm not hungry. Prophet is serving food, and she replied, "I'm not hungry." And Prophet said, obviously he has the ilmul ghaib, the absolute knowledge of the unseeable world. Everything is under his command, keeps tabs on the whole universe, madhar and reflection of every single name of Allah without exception. The whole universe is created in front of his eyes, commander-in-chief of the universe. People are lying in front of him, which is shameful. Someone who knows it inside out. So Prophet said, "La tajma'na al-ju'a wal-kadhib." Do not combine hunger and lie. That means on one hand you are hungry, on the other hand you are lying. So you are combining a lie with the hunger. And he said that even these tiny lies are also written down by the angels. And Prophet said, Hattal Kuzaiba, even the small lie. Kuzaiba in Arabic means the small. Sighatul Tasghir. So even a tiny lie that we may think it's small has an impact on our spirituality. And the hadith of the Holy Prophet says that La yajadu abdun ta'mal iman hatta yatruka al-kizba jiddahu wa hazlahu. A person cannot reach, cannot taste the iman and faith until he leaves the lying seriously and jokingly. That means in all situations of life we don't lie. Some people are, well, you can be quote unquote lie in joke to your friends, if as long as your mukhatab, your audience knows that this is not right, this is not true, you're just joking. As long as they know you are joking, that's okay. But if they don't know you are joking and they would perceive that you are saying the truth, then you are not supposed to say it even in the joking mode. You're not supposed to say anything that they will perceive as truth. This is also called a lie in the Shariat of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. The hadith I just mentioned to you from the Prophet. So sidq is extremely important. Allah did not send any prophet unless and until didn't send any prophet except for the fact that Allah had tested every prophet with two things. Allah has confirmed the presence of these two attributes in every prophet. And first one is sidq, and the second one is ada'ul amana, giving back the entrusted trusts, which is amanatdari and amanat and sidq. So these are two basic attributes which are found commonly among all the prophets of God. And in one of my previous speeches I already mentioned those five things which Islam considers to be amanat. When we talk about the concept of amanat and as a value of Islam, what are the things which are called amanat? And we discussed in details those five things that Islam considers to be amanat. Now, obviously, no one can get close to the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam unless and until they are sadiq and ameen. So all the ashab and the shias who got close, who had taqarrub towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, they must fulfill this prerequisite of being sadiq in their behaviors. You cannot get close to the Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam whereas you have this zulmat and darkness. If you have the zulmat and darkness of a lie, of lying, of kizb in your soul, it doesn't combine with the taqarrub of the Imam. So sidq is extremely important. And we find Abu Zar rahmatullahi alayh, this hadith has been narrated by Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam himself. Where he said, I heard from, he talks about the Holy Prophet, that he heard from the Prophet that مَا أَظَلَّتِ الْخَضْرَى وَلَا أَقَلَّتِ الْغَبْرَى عَلَى ذِي لَهْجَةٍ أَصْطَقْ مِنْ أَبِي ذَرْ. That neither the sky put its shadow nor the earth carried the weight of anyone more truth-telling than Abu Dharr. This is a hadith that Imam Ali is the Ravi and narrator of the hadith, and he narrates from Rasulullah talking about the sidq of Abu Dharr. So what I was saying to you is that all those companions that you find in their history, when you read the Ilmu Tarajim, we have Ilmu Tarajim, we have Ilmu Fiqh al-Hadith, we have ilmu diraya, and we have ilmu rijal. We have four knowledges in the hawza that you study before you can judge any single narration or hadith. It has to go through four screening tests. So we have ilmu tarajim that deals with the life history of the narrators. And we have 18,730 something narrators, 34 or something. So all those ruwatul hadith, how we call them, the narrators of the hadith, our scholars did a wonderful job protecting information about the narrators. So in these four knowledges are compulsory, and the knowledge that deals with their life history and their background is ilmu tarajim. So we do discuss about their life history, so we know what kind of people they are before we can give a judgment that they are siqah and muassaq and authentic, and then we can rely on their tradition. So siqh is an extremely important attribute. The next thing is about sabr. Sabr in the situations of our life. This world is Darul Bala. It has long list of names in Ilmul Kalam. Like Day of Judgment has 100 plus names. This dunya has also a long list of names. I did not count, maybe I think more than 15 or more than 20 names at least. So one of the names is Darul Bala. This is the world of tests. So we find that one thing, and Darul Tazahum, the world of obstacles. One thing is an obstacle in the way of Allah. You want to achieve something, but someone else becomes an obstacle in the way, you could not achieve it. It's not a smooth ride. That's the nature of this world. Because there are asbab, there are causes. There are causes and effects. Asbab and athar. Sabab and musabab. Illat and ma'lud. So everybody is doing things. And everything has an impact. Your cause may or may not provide you the desired result. When that's the nature of this world, which is Babut Alamut Tazahum and Darul Bala, then obviously we need to have sabr when we are sent to this world. Not every demand of ours can be honored. We must understand. And we have to have patience. I already told you in one of my previous speeches that the real meaning of sabr is not what so many in the awamun nas perceive. Some people have a grave misunderstanding about the concept of sabr in the Islamic moral value system. People think that sabr means just stay silent and ignore it. You talk to some people, you know, say, no, just do sabr, just do sabr. What they mean out of sabr is that stay silent and ignore it. That's the meaning they perceive of sabr in Islam. Whereas this has nothing to do with sabr in Islam. In Islam, the concept of sabr means you do your fariza towards Allah. In the way of doing your fariza, all the mushkilat and hardships and masaib that you face, continue doing your fariza and duty. Do not allow the mushkilat and masaib and turmoils and problems to derail you from doing the fariza. Continue doing the fariza with the same force and face and tolerate all the problems and mushkilat that you find in the way of consistency of fariza. This is called sabr. Not that you stay silent and ignore and let the zalim do what he wishes to do and his agenda prospers and Islamic agenda fails. This is not called sabr, this is called insult of Islam. That's how the concept has been. So we find sabr means to continue doing your side of the job. After you do your side of the job, if the other people are not doing their side of the job, you tolerate it. You stand it, you tolerate it. Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sayyid Hashim Haddad, rahmatullahi alayh, is one of the greatest students. one of the greatest students of Ayatollah al-Uzma Sayyid Ali Qazi al-Tabatabai. And he says that I had a conflict with my mother-in-law. Every time I used to go to my house, she used to start speaking things against me. And obviously these great personalities who are studying from such a great personality, they won't do things without the permission of the teacher. Obviously he informed his teacher, this is the behavior that I saw from my mom, mother-in-law, and I didn't say anything to her, she just starts saying bad words to me. And Ayatollah al-Uzma Sayyid Qazi rahmatullah alayh said to him that you have to do sabr. That means you continue what you are doing. You're not supposed to stay back from what you are doing. Continue doing what you are doing, and in the path of what you are doing, if you find problem or whatever obstacle from her, just do sabr, be tolerant, and your success lies in this. Your spiritual success lies in this. So he says, well, I heard that amr, that command of the teacher, that whatever advice from the teacher, I went back, and when I went into my home, from the time I entered into the door, from the door of my house, my mother-in-law saw me and she started to scream and say bad things to me, and I was very much upset. But I remembered what my teacher had said, so I didn't say anything to her. I did sabr. When it became totally intolerant for me to hear anything more of her wrongs, I went out of my house. Instead of me blowing up and saying things bad towards her, replying back to her, which would have been bad. So this is against the concept of sabr, that you lose your temper. This is against the spiritual process of cleanliness, isn't it right? Cleanliness and reaching the higher levels. So he said, I walked out of my house, I did the sabr as the teacher had said, and I realized what my teacher told me, that your spiritual success lies in this sabr. He said, when I was walking out, and that's where I have reached that position where the soul, see, we have a level in Islamic spirituality and Irfan where the soul departs the body. Tazreedu ruh anil badan. Soul leaves the body, and the soul of you yourself can see your own body doing the actions. So he said, that was the turning point in my life. That was this turning point in his life, that his soul departed the body and he could see his own body afterwards. This is marhalatul tajarrud. So this is one of the examples of how sabr in the way positively always provides the results. Now, we all live in this world where there are these obstacles around us, but the real freedom of a person is that he doesn't allow his spirituality to get tainted or impaired with the shawa'ibu tabi'ah and wasawisu shaytan and adat and shahawat. That means we keep our spirituality away from things from the world of nature around us that basically impact our spirituality and the deceptions of shaitan and the customs and traditions that people are following, which are all signs of which are not acceptable in Islam if it collides with our value system. So this is what we have to you know, make ourselves free from. Now, wasawis of shaitan, deceptions of shaitan, means that shaitan performs he provokes bad ideas in our minds. This is called waswasa. So he cannot do more than that. He cannot grab our hand and take us to the wrong or the place of fasad or munkar. He only provokes the thought. That's it. The rest of the action is always done by the human himself. B. Shaitan performs tasweelat. And C. Shaitan performs tazyeen. Tasweelat means after your nafs al-lawwama, your zameer, your conscience, which dawn condemns the bad action, and you realize you did wrong and you want to repent and you want to fix and repair the spiritual problem, that's the second step of shaitan, to do the tasweelat, to stop you and block you and ask you to delay in tawbah, in delay in repenting, in delay in fixing and repairing the spiritual problem, and asks you to, you can do it later on. This is called tasweel. And the third process the shaitan engages in is tazyeen. That means the bad thing itself is always presented in a nice looking, sweet sounding, good form. That's how shaitan, that's the standard operation procedure. That's the SOP of shaitan. That's how he always operates. He makes bad things look good, and that's how, you know, it's an effective way for so many people. It's effective, it works for so many, and they end up getting trapped with this policy of shaitan, and then they end up doing the wrong because they think it's bad. They don't think it's bad. You talk to them and they have an excuse to furnish. Well, I did that because, you know, this. So basically you're trying to say that it's not as bad as you're trying to say to me. It has this much pluses in it. This is exactly what we call tazyeen from shaitan. So the moment we try to justify it, this is the alamat that we are in the trap of the tazyeen of shaitan. So this is what our scholars have said, that we need to avoid. How much time is left for the adhan? 5 minutes. Okay. So this is what our scholars have said that we need to avoid as we are discussing. So we don't end up among, God forbid, you know, we should seek refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be one of those who do the bad things, but they consider their bad actions to be good. They are the biggest losers you can imagine. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. So say, shall I inform you about the biggest losers in terms of actions? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. So we understand in the light of this verse that there are some people who do bad actions, all their actions are gone, went down the drain, lost, no reward for them, nothing of their actions worthy of anything on the Day of Judgment, nothing is remaining in their bag to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the actions are gone. They used to think they're doing very nice, they're doing nice actions, nothing wrong with me. See, I am a nice person, you know, I'm doing this and this and this. But so they continue to think that their actions are good, although their actions were actually bad. And these are the biggest losers that Quran has been warning about in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 103 and 104. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ. Say, shall I inform you, بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا, about those who are the biggest losers in terms of their actions. So this requires us to be very careful in our behaviors. Obviously, like I mentioned earlier in one of the earlier speeches, that spiritual uplift requires murabbi in Islam. We cannot reach the high levels without having a murabbi. And murabbi is also one of the, is part of the lutf from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have qa'idatul lutf, like we have been discussing in the fiqh classes of the boys and the sisters. We discuss the qa'idatul lutf, which means that everything that makes us close to Allah, ma yuqarribu al-'abda ila Allah wa yub'iduhu 'anil ma'siyah. Everything that makes us close to Allah and makes us away from the ma'siyat is the lutf. So it's incumbent for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who loves us and our success, to provide lutf for us. This is the qa'idatul lutf in our ilm al-kalam. And according to qa'idatul lutf, Allah will help us providing the murabbi as well if we deserve it. It depends on our liyaqat and ahliyat. The more we deserve, the more we abstain from the harams that we have already learned by now, the more we become ahl of receiving the lutf of Allah for the higher levels. So there has to be our, like in the last Thursday I mentioned, musahabatul ulama, sohbat, musahabat, hamnashini, companionship of scholars. These are one of the benefits that we can get in their companionship, that the concepts of Islam are rightfully settled in our minds and we do not misinterpret Islamic teachings to fit our interests. Akhyasun nas. Remember I mentioned you this hadith from Mishkatul Anwar. Akhyasun nas man jama'a ilman nas ila ilmihi. The most intelligent of the humans is that who collected the knowledge of people to his knowledge. That means when you hang around with the scholars, you add their knowledge into their knowledge. That's how we increase in wisdom. We always need knowledge and wisdoms, and also tajriba, which is considered to be fawqal ilm, superior to the knowledge. You sometimes have studied things in the book, which is a bookish information, but sometimes you get along with people who have more tajriba and experience, and they have gone through those stages practically. So bookish information may or may not successfully provide you the right path, because in walking you may make a mistake. In determining and distinguishing your duty, you make a mistake. But if you are getting along with those who have the tajriba, they have gone through, reached already, they have been there, they have done that, and they tell you, obviously their tajriba is superior than this. So wrong concepts can be avoided by this behavior. Like this person who was one of the leaders of Ahlul Tasawwuf, Sufiyya, the Sufi sect, and he came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and started to object on him that your great father Imam Ali alayhi salam used to wear a very, you know, simple shirt with patches, patch on the shirt, where you are wearing a nice dress. And Imam alayhi salam said that, which I'm paraphrasing the hadith in my own words, if Ali alayhi salam wore that dress, it didn't look bad at that time and was not the subject of inkar. It should not be stopped at that time, in other words. Whereas if he wore the same shirt today, it would have been fallen in the category of libas al-shohrat. And if you remember, we discussed in one of the classes in the Sunday schools and also in the fiqh classes, that there are approximately 6 types of dresses which are haram in Islam, and one of the categories of haram dresses is libas al-shohrat. Libas al-shohrat in Islam, in our fiqh, it means any dress that causes finger pointing at you due to its color, stitching, style, or way of wearing. Because of any of those reasons, if you are wearing such a weird kind of dress, which is against your dignity and honor, it will fall in the category of libas-e-shuhrat, and it's haram to wear. It's not makruh, it's haram to wear libas-e-shuhrat. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that that dress of Imam Ali alayhi salam would have fallen in the category of libas-e-shuhrat today. It would end up getting him finger pointed. People would point fingers, in other words, on him. So Imam, it was appropriate, in other words, it was appropriate for Imam Ali to wear that shirt at that time, but today it's not appropriate to wear that shirt. See, the situation in those days, this is about the concept that we were talking about. How do you correct your concept? Why do the Sufis were led astray towards inhiraf? Because they lost the, you know, tamassuk with Ahlul Bayt, Daman Ahlul Bayt. That's why they got misguided. So that's what we are discussing, that getting in touch with the sohbat and musahabat of ulama is what corrects your concept. So in those days, Imam Ali al-Islam was living in a time where general public was poor. And the Imam al-Muslimin in Islam is supposed to live the simplest of the lives as compared to any single person of his ra'iyat, his people who are under his command. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam today is living in a time where general Muslim community is not poor. It's okay for him, it's perfectly okay for him to wear a nice shirt. Whereas he himself was wearing a simple shirt inside his nice shirt to tame his nafs and desires. And this guy, Sufyan al-Thawri, from the Sufi tribe, Sufi sect, was wearing a simple shirt from the outside and wearing an expensive shirt inside the simple shirt. So he's wearing a simple shirt outside to fool the masses and show him and display that how muttaqi he is. From the inside, he's wearing an expensive dress. So this is about the... and then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that when our qa'im will appear, in other words, when he will rise, qa'im of Ahlul Bayt, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, in other words, he will rise. He would be wearing the same shirt of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and would act according to the seerat and tradition of Imam Ali alayhi salam. It's the time of praise, inshallah we'll continue it later on. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيَنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ